Hello and welcome back to the BTL with Reb T, the Better Through Letter with Reb T, the show where we talk how to make ourselves better through using and reading the Ramban's letter. This letter to his son is fantastic, talks how we could work on our traits, work on our midos, work on our ethics, especially different midos like anger. We talked the introduction, we talked the letter, we talked lesson two and lesson one. Now we're on lesson three, looking at this phrase, Shehi mida ra'a lahachati b'nei adam. Anger is a most serious character flaw which causes one to sin. Anger is not only an individual character trait, it is a barometer of personality as well. I want to remind you, this book is called A Letter for the Ages from the Art School series with the help of the wonderful commentary of Rabbi Avram Chaim Feuer. Again, we don't read every single thing Rabbi Feuer writes, even though the whole book is fantastic. Sometimes we double up the chapter, sometimes we do a chapter at a time, sometimes we break it in half if it's a really big chapter of the phrase, but even so, you stick with us. We learn wonderful things with the help of Rav Feuer from this beautiful book. So again, this is a barometer of personality. A wise man once advised, before you take someone as your friend, observe him when he is angered. His conduct under pressure will tell you volumes about his true nature. Erev in 65b, Orach HaTzadikim points that out also. When a person is put to the test, when a person is put to the stress, when a person is pushed to the limit, how do they react? Do they crumble under the pressure? Do they rise to the task? Do they stand up to the what is asked of them and what is required of them, what is wanted of them? They say that if you want something done, give it to a busy person. Why would you give it to a busy person? Wouldn't you give it to someone who is less busy, has more time? But no, it's because that busy person gets things done. He's so busy, he has so many things to do, he makes sure to get things done. And I feel like that, especially in the days when I have to see my students write the notes, research for the show, and all the while juggling 100 different things. Because when Hashem makes us busy, He's testing us to see how we'll react. Will we be angry or will we take it all in stride? Will we try to do everything we can, even if we feel like we're multitasking, which never works, trying to tackle one task at a time? That's how you see. Put him to the pressure and see what happens. When a person consistently loses his temper, he loses his rational sense as well. The very basis of his relationship with God can become endangered because there's nothing to restrain him. The Talmud points out in Shabbos 105, going to see it in Daf Yomi Land, God willing, soon, the man who loses himself to anger is considered to have worshipped idols. When a person becomes unrestricted, he approaches idolatry. Unable to think clearly, the man who is lost in fury loses perspective. The crooked path appears straight. The forbidden seems permissible. Insults, quarreling, and slander are no longer distant from him. Although an otherwise sensitive man, the angered person may in his fury come even to humiliate others publicly. When no longer guided by reason, even the most unspeakable acts can come within reach, pointed out by the Chavetz Chaim Chavos Hashmira. When people are pushed and people are angered, they do really crazy things. Think about the events currently with Lo Aleinu, that we should never know from such things. The person that was killed basically by the police officer, he couldn't breathe, and there are riots all over the country. When people become angered, anything goes. They basically lose all rational sense, all moderality, and all meaning to how they think. They just go and do anything. They'll loot stores in the name of the person who passed away. They'll riot and they'll throw things on fire, and they'll do crazy, crazy violent things in the name of the person. Because when a person gets angered, if you don't know how to check it, you don't know how to put it into an acceptable means, anything goes. And anything can happen, lo aleinu. Elijah the prophet said, one of my favorite prophets in the whole Tanakh, he said, if you never come to anger, you will never come to sin. Pointed out in Brachos 29a. Interestingly, Elijah should talk about anger because Elijah was very zealously angry for Hashem. And throughout his lifetime, he fought against Ahab and Izebel. He fought against all the people trying to inspire B'nai Yisrael to repent. And when Hashem brings him after 40 days, he brings him to the mountain, telling him that you're too zealous, especially Har Carmel. He slew 400 false prophets. Hashem asks him, what's going on, Elijah? What's going on, Eliyahu? What are you doing? Elijah responds, Sons. I have been zealous for your sake. I have been angry for your sake, Hashem. No one else but me is around. Everyone else is in hiding. Thanks to Avadia, the prophet, he hit 100 prophets. Elijah was going around, but then he himself had to go in hiding because they wanted to kill Elijah. And Hashem shows him a whole vision and then asks again and shows him the small, thin voice and Elijah's, and tells Elijah, this is where Hashem has found. Elijah, what are you doing here? And Elijah says, I have been zealous for your sake, Hashem. I'm the last one. No one else is left. They want to kill me. Same exact answer. Hashem knows. Hashem knows everything, but Hashem now understands to point to Elijah and say, this is why we can't have you around anymore. You're too zealous for my sake. You're too angry for my sake. And the anger goes out of bounds, out of check. Who knows if you'll do another Harkamal situation, which wasn't warranted on my end. You did it by yourself. We have to take you away. And he takes away Elijah alive. Elisha takes over and goes and anoints the next king. But Elijah is always around because he's always zealous for Yisrael. And he told Hashem that he was worried about the Jews not doing the sake properly, not doing the brises properly. That's why he comes to every bris. He comes to every Seder. He's involved in our life. And he should bring Mashiach speedily in our days because he is the one that could bring us to redemption because he was so zealous for Hashem. But that's talking about anger. Talking about anger, you have to use it in the right way. You want to be zealous for Hashem in the way like Pinchas did, that's good. But it has to be in the proper manners and the proper methods. The Talmud points out in Pesachim 66, whoever loses his temper, if he is a scholar, he will lose his wisdom. If he is a prophet, he will lose his Holy Spirit. Gemara also points out a man's unbridled fury can potentially destroy his life. Pesachim points out in 113b, Sefer HaChassidim points out in 655 a crazy, crazy story. Again, this is all from Rabbi Avram Chaim Feuer. This story is crazy. One man controlled his anger, saved himself from destroying his family. How? Listen to this story. Once there was a son who was extraordinarily respectful to his father. On his deathbed, the father said, my son, you honored me in my lifetime, and now you must honor me after my death. I command you, if you should ever become overcome by anger, hold your anger in overnight. That's what we talked about, especially when it comes to a story like this. Usually I would say don't go to bed angry, especially with your spouse or your children, but this story proves he needed to go to sleep overnight. Why? After his father's death, the son was forced to embark on a prolonged journey, which took him to distant lands for tens of years. Unbeknown to him, the wife he left behind was expecting his child. After years of absence, the husband returns home unannounced, hoping to joyously surprise his wife. But as he approached his bedchamber, he saw his wife embracing a handsome young man, a stranger. The husband became fiercely jealous and reached for his dagger when he suddenly remembered the pledge he made to his father. He must hold in his rage overnight. The next day, he was shocked to discover that the young man in his wife's embrace was none other than his own son, the child that his wife had borne during his long absence. The man was literally saved from tragically slaughtering his own family. Lo aleinu, can you imagine what kind of a story that is? Can you imagine the tragedy that would have happened if he didn't check that anger, if he didn't listen to his dad's advice? Thank God he listened to his dad's advice, and thank God he was able to sleep on it. A lot of times, if we sleep on it overnight, we will save ourselves from tragedy, from God forbid losing the job because we used the wrong words, from God forbid losing the friend because we used the wrong words, God forbid hurting our spouse or our children in an irreparable way because we used the wrong words. If you sleep on it, you take a step back, you understand, you wait to use those words, you can save yourself tragedy in your own life, lo aleinu, God forbid. Rambam points out, a person should balance his personality traits, like we said, avoiding the extremes for any one trait except for anger and arrogance. There's no middle way. A person must strive rather for an opposite extreme, avoiding wrath even in situations where anger is indeed justifiable. Even Sefer Amidos points out, the trait of anger is undeniably evil. We need to avoid it. It really cannot do good. It really hurts people, makes a person into a viper, into a snake. Anger is indeed contagious. By associating with a short-tempered person, one may also come to adopt his nature. That comes from Rav Hirsch. And that also points to the idea of Oyla Rasha, Oyla Shecheino. What did Reuven, the tribe of Reuven, have to do with the assembly of Korach? But they were neighbors. If a bad neighbor can influence you in the wrong way, that's why that's one of the ways we're supposed to distance ourselves. Perkovs points out, do not have a bad neighbor. Have a good heart. Don't have a bad heart. Don't have bad neighbors. Have good neighbors. Toiv l'rasha, toiv l'shcheino. That's why Moshe and the Levim were next to the Mishkan. They had all good neighbors. They had good influences. But the people of Reuven, who were ensnared in Korach's rebellion, they all were gone because they ensnared themselves in the wrong way. It was contagious. The anger, the wrong anger of Korach affected Reuven. Very bad news. And indeed, in many ways, the repercussions of a man's anger reach far beyond himself, especially as pointed out by this story. So join us as we continue on lesson 4, talking a different phrase, how we could try to make ourselves better here on the BTL with Reb T. And I'm your host, Reb T.